lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have. Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Deanna, I want to ask you in regards to this, what happened to finally break the camel's back here? Because obviously you don't live in the house anymore. You had enough. What was the final straw?
The final straw is what happened next. That occurred in the house that maybe I should tell you after the break, unless you have time now.
Warm us up. Tease us a little. Tease us a little.
All right. I'm going to tease you a little. There is a male dark entity there that at one time, my second husband, it was a very bad abusive relationship. I used to get in my car and drive for hours because I didn't want to go back home. And where else can you go but a cemetery? Because, you know, you can't go to the mall. The police would be asking you what you're doing. I couldn't go back home. I had nowhere to go. So I started hanging out at the cemeteries. I found peace and solace there. I could just go to a cemetery, sit and wait, cry my heart out, talk about, you know, my situation to God, what was happening to me, my abusive relationship. And I actually picked up, which I did not know, I picked up an entity. I got an attachment that followed me home.
Well, you're a beacon at that point. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yes, because my husband was very, yeah, no. And then this just draw in the last straw.
Wow. Well, we only got about 20 seconds here to go before we go to break here at the top of the hour. We got Joni Mahan and Deanna Simpson for another half hour in hour three. Then we're going to get to the SOR Newswire and the Thought of the Dave to round out the hour. I love these haunting stories. The sad part about it is we just never have enough time. There's too many questions, too many stories, too much intrigue. And sometimes you just literally have to tell the story the best you can. And that's what we're trying to do here on Spaced Out Radio tonight. Joni Mahan, author extraordinaire of the paranormal, the Deanna Simpson story, the Hanover Haunting, the Deanna Simpson story. You can get in major bookstores and on Amazon online as well. Hour three next on Spaced Out Radio.
Would you like to connect with us? Head to spacedoutradio.com for all your latest show info. Now, back to Dave Scott and SOR.
Here we go with hour number three of Spaced Out Radio tonight. I am your host, Dave Scott. Thank you so much for joining us. Hi to everyone listening in on our terrestrial affiliates around the continent. On the digital side, we're proud to broadcast on TalkStream Live and Revolution Radio. Remember, you can check out all of our archives for free at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Just do me the favor, hit that subscribe button. The Desert Clam has set the password for tonight in the SOR Space Travelers Club. Misocania. Misocania is your password. Use it wisely, space travelers, as the clam sets a password each and every night right here on Spaced Out Radio. Our website is spacedoutradio.com. We have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire, which is updated daily. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter for the show at Spaced Out Radio and my personal handle at Dave Scott SOR. For the final time tonight, I introduce author Joni Mahan and Deanna Simpson. Their book, The Hanover Haunting, The Deanna Simpson Story. This has been a creepy night here on Spaced Out Radio all night long, and if you miss portions of it, you're going to want to go back and hear it. Ladies, welcome back to the show. From the rainy mountains of central British Columbia to you listening around the world, this, my friends, is Spaced Out Radio. I am your host, Dave Scott, sitting in the captain's chair of SOR headquarters. We welcome you to tonight's show on our terrestrial affiliates across North America and on the digital side on Revolution Radio and TalkStream Live. If you want to take a listen to our archives, guess what? We have them free for you at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Just do old Davey the favor, hit that subscribe button. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio for the show and my personal handle at Dave Scott SOR. Our website is spacedoutradio.com, where we have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire. Tonight's show is brought to you by Chive Charities. Help make the world 10% happier by visiting Chive Charities today. You can find them on our website. Here we go again with another edition of Butch Witkowski and Strange Days. Butch is a longtime champion in the search for these anomalous creatures that roam the forests and waterways of North America. Bigfoot, Dogman, bipedal canines, UFOs, ghosts, you name it. It's probably scared of Butch, which makes it even more clear why he hasn't solved any of these mysteries just yet. You know, that theory actually does have some merit to it. Butch's website is UFOcop.com. He's out of Pennsylvania, where he and his team of crazies are on alert 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when the call for sighted monsters comes in. Then at the bottom of hour number three, I will bring you the SOR Newswire brought to you by Paranoia Magazine. Mr. Butch Witkowski, always a pleasure to have you on Spaced Out Radio, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine. Always a pleasure to be here, sir.
Always a pleasure to have you here, my friend. And, you know, there's a lot of strange that goes on in this world. And, you know, a lot of it we cannot explain. We can't figure it out. When are we going to start finding some answers to some of these weird and strange mysteries that we're trying to solve here, my friend?
Well, as long as they keep me locked up in this county, I'm never going to see anything. Yeah, we're still down in this virus thing till June 5th. I think they're going to cut us loose. And then we're going to be heading for a couple spots that we've always wanted to look at, but for some reason or another, whether it was bad weather, cold weather, my heart attack, or this virus deal, kept us from going there. We found a series of caves that are located near our very first two sightings. And some strange stuff is still going on up there. So we want to check those out. That's a big thing. That's going to be a couple weekends in a row. And then there's an abandoned mining town area that we want to check out where there have been some reports. But I think they're not reporting from the reports. They're not reporting a bipedal. I think they're more reporting a Bigfoot or a large hairy hominid. So that's what we're after. I mean, at least get up there and see what these mines are anyway, in these caves. Pennsylvania's loaded with these things. I mean, we got like 400 caves in Pennsylvania. Now, some of them are old mine shafts, but that's a lot.
You know, one of the things, and it's funny because I went out on Saturday night to go look for a weird case that just happened. I had very little detail, but I went on out there. A gentleman was out, I'm going to say, either prospecting for hunting spots, or maybe he was out hunting black bears or whatever it may be. And he saw a black triangle over top of him. And shortly after that, he had a face-to-face encounter with Sasquatch. And the guy got the heck out of the area, and we were trying on Saturday night in the dark to try and find that area. And, you know, we heard some strange things. There was no wood knocking. We tried that. There was no screaming or yelping, you know. But the one thing that we did hear, and it could be anything, I don't know really what it is, but right below where we were on the hillside, there's a fast-moving creek in there right now. And we actually heard boulders in the water, almost like they were being turned over. Now, that could be a black bear. It could be a grizzly bear. It could be whatever it may be. It might be the force of the current. I don't know. But it was very odd and very strange on how this sighting led to us going out there, and of course we saw nothing, no UFOs. We did see the space station, which was cool, and lots of satellites. But, you know, you have to get out there. You have to investigate everything, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. You know, you got to think critically and demand evidence, and the only way that's going to happen is out in the field. Yeah, you can do your background research, at least some of it, you know, through historical societies and laptops and computers and all that kind of stuff. But there is nothing like being out in the field and seeing what you're supposed to be looking at or looking for. Right. And, you know, and you know, if you get a report like the first week of the month, you don't want to schedule the next month at the end of the month to go out and look. I mean, you try to get there as fast as you can. I know sometimes that's pretty much impossible, but trying to get out there, as you know, with all expediency is a big plus. And as far as evidence, I know a lot of people get a little upset with evidence because if they do find something like a print or hair or blood or urine or scat, they really have no place to take it. And we have a person that does that for us. Plus, we have a small lab here at the house where, you know, we can get stuff under a microscope and take some certain tests. And we don't charge anything for that. So if they ever get caught up in that, all they got to do is contact me and we'll take care of it from there. But you have to get out. That's the biggest thing. I mean, if you're just going to sit there and talk about it or think about it or, you know, read about it, that's not going to help you any. It's not going to get you to where you want to be. And, no. You know, when you want to, you know, you're trying to prove something that everybody pretty much says doesn't exist, but any rational person, and that includes you and me, sort of, knows that there's something out there. We know there's something there. Now, the name of the game is prove it. Okay? So however we prove it, whether it's thermal imaging or photographs or video or prints or scat or hair, or, you know, anything can be verified. That's it. I mean, it's not like we're going to coax one to step over and have a beer. I mean, we got to put the work into it. And that's where I find some stuff that really troubles me. Like, folks really talk up a really good investigation or research area, but they might have been there one time, and that was 10 years ago. But they're still talking about it. So why wouldn't you be out there if you do have an area? And we have our own areas. I mean, we have an area for the bipedals, you know, the lichen loop. We have an area for Bigfoot sightings. We have an area for UFO sightings and stuff like that that are continuous. And now, like I said, barring this past few months where I got shut down and we had some really rotten weather, yeah, I'm ready to go. I mean, all the equipment's been taken out, prepared, put back in trucks. It's all ready to go. We got a few new things to try, and just got to go out and try to get it done.
You mentioned caves right off the bat, and the researcher who tipped me off to this sighting was also talking about a lot of caves in this area that she believes were home to a lot of these different creatures that are hiding. How important is it to try and figure out this cave system? Because if there's anywhere these creatures are hiding, especially when it comes to winter, they got to be finding shelter in some sort of cave system.
Yeah, got cave system, abandoned mines, abandoned railroad stations that are all over our state anyway. And I'm sure there's a lot of old mining stuff up in your area too. But yeah, look, if they're supposed to be what people say they are, which is flesh and blood, then they must eat, they must drink, they must seek shelter. That's just the way it is. If there are families of whatever creature we're talking about, whether they have little ones or old ones, somebody's taking care of them, and they're surely not, you know, just taking them out and letting them stand under a tree in a snowstorm. So now I did find out one thing. I found my state, and then I found that almost all the states in down here have lists of the mines and caves that are open to the public, and also they list the ones that are private property where you need to get some kind of permission to go in them, or they tell you that they're dangerous, they're closed down, or they had slides and stuff like that. But those lists are available in pretty much every state. Now, here in Pennsylvania, it's like 400. Now, some are old mine shafts, some are caves, natural caves. So it's just another thing to put into the toolbox, if you know what I mean. You got to get out there and look. Now, I'm not saying you're going to go into a cave and see Bigfoot or find a bipedal, but that's not what you're there for. You're looking for evidence. So if you can find a bed down area or, you know, animals that are have been eaten, bones, stuff like that. And people always say to me, well, what do you want to take a bone for? Well, if you got a bone, you can check the bite radius. And the bite radius on a coyote or a dog or a bear is a lot different than a wolf. So you can make that comparison. It's just, you know, you can set up camera traps. There's a lot of things you can do electronically. But the main thing is you got to get out there and do it. Just like, you know, that information you got, you guys went right out after it. Now, the splashing of rocks, I mean, like you said, that could be anything. It could be a bear. It could be current. But take a lot of current to splash rocks. And I think a bear would get pretty bored after a little bit. How long did it last?
Well, you know, the funny part about it is it was intermittent. Okay, like it wasn't something that was happened once and it was rolling and rolling and rolling. That I would put to current. I didn't even notice it at first. My outdoor guy, the guy who we take for protection out there, little Marky Spender, otherwise known as Bazooka Joe, he actually was the one who noticed it. And he's like, and he told us to pretty much shut up and just listen for a second because he was actually hearing. He was actually hearing the rolling of the rocks, and it was intermittent. Like, it wasn't just like a roll, 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 roll. It was like one big roll. No splashing, just one big roll. And then another, you know, maybe a minute or two later, another big roll. Now, that could easily be explained by a bear looking for rats, looking for mice, looking for rabbits, any sort of grubs that it could, or ants that it could eat. And, and you know, hey, why not? Maybe fish that are tucked into the rocks by the creek, because the creeks are moving pretty fast around here. You know, it could be anything. I mean, that to me is logical. And I realize I'm going to get ripped a new one for being logical on Twitter, because they don't like it when I do that. They prefer the woo. But, you know, there's the reality to that. But it kept happening. And it happened for probably, we heard it for a good 10, 15 minutes. About every minute or two, we'd hear another one.
Wow. Is that an area where there's been sightings of anything before?
Yes. Yeah, we were about an hour and 15 minutes from any sort of civilization.
Wow.
Gee, oh yeah, we went way back there, my friend.
Well, that's, you know, it's funny because, you know, people say that, some folks, they say they don't go out because there's no place to go. Well, you know, we're not British Columbia, but we have areas in this state that are just, the woods are so thick you can't even walk in them in the dark. Plus, we have two of the only out of four dark areas in the country. So it's, you know, the astrologists and star watchers, they're all over the place out there. But it's one of those things where, you know, there's always somebody or something trying to tell you how to do it, but they don't do it. So I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to that. I always said the only time I ever bump into a researcher, it's at a conference. I never bump into them in the wooded areas. So I don't know. I know some researchers don't share the information or tell people how to do it or what to do or what safety to take. But that's not good either. I mean, right. Like I've said that, I've always said it, you know, we'll share anything we got, any information, any type of equipment they're looking for, or how to use it, or specific areas where there's been a lot of sightings over the years. And you have to share it. I mean, you can't keep that stuff a secret.
Right. And you know, like in that area where we were, okay, there is a group of grizzly bears. There's black bears, there's cougars, there's big moose. And where we were investigating was, we were investigating on a downslope into a valley of two mountains with a very fast moving creek at the bottom right now, because we got a lot of snow in the mountains this winter, which is always good. And so the creeks, you know, have been, they're overbearing with water right now. And, you know, in some areas of the flatlands, it is flooding up here. And we had to go through a little bit of that in order to get to that spot. But I mean, just the idea, though, like we are in the perfect area for something to happen. And this area has an old, it's now shut down. It's called the Old Hendricks Mine. And one of those things, Butch, about that area was residents of Hendricks going back 40, 50 years used to say that they would watch the UFOs come in at night and hover over the mine and then shoot straight back up into space.
Now, I'm going to hold you right there. Out in a town called Brady, out in western Pennsylvania, there's an old, kind of remember as being iron ore, maybe. I might be wrong on that, but it was an old ore mine. And it was the reports out of there were almost identical to what you're talking about, where people would see only at night lights going, balls of light going into the mine or hovering above the mine, coming out of the mine and shooting straight up, or above the mine shooting straight up. So, I mean, that's a phenomena that I found in a couple reports over the years. So, you know, that place would really bear watching.
Yeah, it was very interesting indeed in regards to that. Now, I would like to go back there in daytime. It was just too dark. We did have night vision with us, and unfortunately, we didn't see anything. It, you know, I was hoping to hear some hoops, some howls, or some screaming, anything that was going on, but didn't hear a thing. I tried some wood knocking. No responses from that. The only time that we had outside of the rocks that we had anything strange happen, Butch, was when we pulled up to this secondary area of this clear cut. And, you know, we were there probably 10 minutes and then the frogs went silent. Yes. So we knew there was something big in the area to cause the, and predatory in the area to cause the frogs to go silent. And we just hung by the vehicle. It made some noise in behind us, but it more sounded like bear. You know, like one thing with Mark with us is Mark is someone who I have 100% trust and faith in. He's a kind of guy, he's been an outdoorsman for 30 years. He's tracked a lot of animals, been a hunting guide, been a fishing guide, just one of those people you very much feel safe in the wilderness with. And he knows the sounds way better than I do, way better than I do. I mean, for me, everything's either an alien or a Sasquatch when I'm out in the forest. You know, I could see a cougar run right across the road and I'll say Sasquatch. That's the kind of guy I am, right? No, I'm being sarcastic a little bit, but you know, I don't know anywhere close to what Mark knows about the wilderness. And when he says, oh, it sounds like a bear in behind us, okay, fine. You know, that's good enough. That's good enough. You know, they're not coming by the vehicle. They're not coming by anything. I mean, we did, you know, we did have a prayer out there. We did, you know, thank the spirits and everything that could be around us for a beautiful night, because I think that they deserve that respect going in. That's something that we do each and every time we do that. So, you know, hey, we didn't get anything, but you know what? There's always next weekend to go back out.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that is really important is that people put that in the back of their little file box in their head. And, you know, when you're going through the woods and, you know, things are running around, you can see a deer, you hear birds chirping, you hear this, you hear that, and everything goes silent just like that. That's when you start to become aware that there is a predator in the area.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you can tell that to a dozen people, and maybe one out of 12 will go like, really? The rest of them just blow you off.
Oh, absolutely. But, like the week before I went out with the family out, we were building a rock garden in our front yard. And we were in this one rocky area where, you know, where the logging trucks go in and they kind of cut their paths and they make these walls of rocks. And, you know, when we were there, you know, same thing. All of a sudden, you know, the birds go silent. When the birds go silent, it's time to go to the vehicle because you never know what is out there.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we've had enough deaths over the last year that have not been solved. So, like I said in the very beginning, there's something out there. What it is, we don't know. Where it's at, you know, we don't know. And, you know, the only way we're going to find out is just to keep looking, to get out there and look. And, you know, I always tell people, don't go out by yourself. I mean, that's kind of crazy. I mean, a group of two or three and, you know, have contingency plans, like you said, back to the truck. But
You have to.
I said to one guy one time, he wanted to say what kind of equipment. So I sent him a list of equipment, and on the list I had a cell phone. He said, what the hell do I need a cell phone for? I said, well, if you fall and break your leg out in the middle of the woods by yourself, at least you can call an ambulance. Oh, yeah,
no,
I guess.
Not where we go. Not where we go.
No, I don't think so. No, they're going to need a helicopter for you.
You're going to need a helicopter and flares and a lot of prayers to come true in order for anybody to find you. Butch, I'm going to get you to hold on right there. We're going to go to break here at the bottom of the hour. When we come back with Butch Witkowski's Strange Days, we're going to get into all these humanoids that have been seen and reported lately. What the heck is a humanoid? And how come they don't have nice hair? We'll find out with Butch Witkowski's Strange Days right after this.
Hey, space travelers, this is John Rezig, founder of the Chive and Chive Charities. If you know anything about our website, you know we like to do things a little differently. We're not some faceless organization collecting money for a nebulous cause. Our donor dollars go directly toward life-improving items. Then we give those items directly to an underdog who needs it most. To become a donor with Spaced Out Radio's official charity, Chive Charities, just go to chivecharities.org/donate.
From the heartlands of Canada to beards around the world, we know how to take care of you. Fill your follicles with the Mighty Moose Beard Oil. All our oils and balms are handmade and 100% natural ingredients because we care about your beard. And hey, use the promo code SOR2019 and get your Mighty Moose Beard Oil today. You can check us out on our website, mightymoosebeard.com.
Hello, this is your guitar man, Ron Bumblefoot Thaw, and I have to tell you, I love the response I get for Little Brother is Watching from Spaced Out Radio fans. It's amazing how music can inspire and make people think deeper about what's going on in the supernatural world. You can head over to my website, bumblefoot.com, to check out my music, my guitar workshops, my touring, even check out some of the hot sauces that I'm working on. And make sure you keep on listening, because with Spaced Out Radio, you know Little Brother is Watching.
We're adding to the entertainment online for Spaced Out Radio. I'm Amber Beckrud, and I want to invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and check out Cryptid Tales, where I will take you on a journey into some of the strangest legends and lore from around the world, relaying the stories to you of the strange creatures and experiences that people have had throughout time. You can find Cryptid Tales at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. And while you're there, don't forget to check out our free archives and leave a comment. See you there.
Hey everybody, the SOR Space Travelers is open. For just $5 a month, you can hang out with Dave and our crew privately in our members-only section. With your signing, you'll receive newsletters on what's going on with Spaced Out Radio. You'll have direct contact with the host during the show in our chat, live streaming videos, and a great form for your posts and more. Become a Space Traveler now at spacedoutradio.com.
You wanted new SOR gear, and now you can have it. The SOR Vault is fully stocked with t-shirts, hats, hoodies, mugs, and everything in between, with great logos for you to choose from. So head on over to spacedoutradio.com, click on the SOR Vault, and go shopping. Pricing is quite affordable, and you can look good representing your favorite show. So go to our website and pick up your new SOR wear at the SOR Vault today.
If you like it hot, real hot,
then heat up your meals with Bumblefoot Hot Sauce.
Get your Bumblefoot Hot Sauce today. The sauce, Bumblicious, and the 4 million Scoville unit Bumble we're going in hot, real hot, coming out even hotter.
Keep the milk nearby and tantalize your taste buds tonight.
Bumblefoot Hot Sauce, available now at Kajans.com.
Cold drinks, great food, and the best music in Vancouver. The Moose Vancouver is the place to be, open until 2 a.m. nightly. Everything on the menu starts at just $6.95. Who serves food that cheap anymore? At the Moose, you'll never know who you'll run into. Rock stars, actors, athletes. It's the place everyone wants to be. So join us at the Moose Vancouver. The Moose Vancouver, the official party bar of Spaced Out Radio.
Hello, space travelers. It's me again, Carl. Don't forget to join the Space Travelers Club for just $5 a month and follow Spaced Out Radio on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio. Our Instagram, Dave Scott SOR. Our Facebook page is Spaced Out Radio Show. Our archives are free at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Come woo it up with Spaced Out Radio today. Bye.
Are you looking for great advertising value for your company? Look no further than Spaced Out Radio. We have a multitude of places to get your name out there, including commercial ads during the show, special promotions, and banners on our website. Our audience has proven to support the companies that support our show. We can make your budget work for you. For more information, please contact us at sales@spacedoutradio.com.
at space.radio.com, we are keeping you up to date on all the news with the SOR Newswire. Captain Shirk leads the team that is bringing you the news of the day and exclusive stories on everything paranormal and supernatural. It's free to read, it's updated daily, and it's right there for you. The SOR Newswire is a one-stop shop for the news of the day. Check it out at spacedoutradio.com today.
Need that weekend supernatural fix? Look no further than Spaced Out Saturday right here at spacedoutradio.com. I'm Stacey Edwards.
And I'm John Edwards. Each Saturday night, Stacey and I are going to bring you the best in paranormal, cryptids, UFOs, you name it, and we're going there.
It's all about the experience and to share the knowledge with all of you.
So tune us in every Saturday night on Spaced Out Saturdays, starting at 9.06 p.m. Pacific, 12.06 a.m. Eastern, only at spacedoutradio.com.
We're taking Sunday nights out of this world on Spaced Out Radio. This is Michael W. Hall, also known as the Paranormal Lawyer. Together, we're going to go on an exciting journey into the unknown. I'm going to bring you some of the best interviews in the paranormal and supernatural to start your new week off on a freaky note. So tune in to Spaced Out Sundays with me, Michael W. Hall, only on spacedoutradio.com.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Spaced Out Radio. Tonight, I am your host, Dave Scott, sitting in the captain's chair of SOR headquarters. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. That's always nice, you spending your time with us. Thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, I want to remind all of you that you can check out our free archives by going to youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Do me the favor, hit that subscribe button. Our website is spacedoutradio.com, where we have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire. And of course, follow us on Twitter at spacedoutradio for the show and my personal handle at Dave Scott SOR. Tonight we are talking with Butch Witkowski. He's from UFOcomp.com. Butch comes in at the end of every month to kind of hang out and tell us about the monster stories that he has been reading up on, researching, and getting reports from. Lately, Butch and his good buddy Lon Strickler have been dealing a lot with these strange humanoid-type creatures. Butch, what's a humanoid?
Well, a humanoid really is any life form, natural or artificial, similar to that of a human being, has enough common characteristics with humans, like external appearance, but very superficial on that level. The humanoids that are being seen have been in a number of shapes and sizes, not to be confused with rakes. And that's another thing that's popped up over the last few months. Rakes are folklore out of England. There was a movie on rakes in 2003. There was a movie on rakes again in 2018. So the pictures that people are seeing of rakes on the internet are from those two movies. They're screen captures. Now the humanoids, come in all sizes, basically. I mean, they're small, they're large, they're always emaciated looking, very thin, long arms, you know, hands with claws, very few facial features at all, no hair, some red eyes, some green eyed, almost akin to the old shadow people that people used to see, the old hat man and stuff. But these things are more, they've just been seen more recently and in different parts of the country and overseas. And, you know, I don't, you know, nobody really knows what they are. I mean, the descriptions vary, but they're similar. Nobody's been harmed or anything like that. Nobody's been attacked. They just appear, and they appear pretty much anywhere, you know, outdoors, indoors, along the road. I mean, people have seen them, you know, or said they have seen them allegedly inside, you know, markets and stores. Now, as soon as they're seen, they seem to vanish. So I don't know what that means, but there's very few that say, you know, it was standing there and then it walked over there and then it went that way. No. They saw it. It saw them and gone. The rakes are a little different, where they're usually spotted crouching down, hiding behind rocks, trees, cars, you know, and then they stand up. They will be bipedal for a certain amount of time, and then they'll drop to all fours and run off. Nobody knows what they are. And, you know, we don't know. Now, the rakes, we can take it back to old England with the rakes. A rake was like pretty much brought up as folklore to keep kids in line. Just like, you know, if you're not good, Santa Claus is going to leave you cold. Well, back then, in those days, if you're not good, the rake will come and take you. So it was more to scare children than anything else. And then it caught on, and then, of course, the movie came out, and then the second movie came out. But before those, when the 2003 movie came out, it wasn't, I probably had a handful of people watched it. 2018, more people watched it, but it kind of got left alone. It just seems that when this virus started, where people were just home, staying at home, they weren't allowed to go anywhere, weren't allowed to do anything, nothing to do, and all of a sudden they're you know, okay, so we need a monster du jour. And the humanoids popped up, and then the rakes popped up. Now, rakes versus humanoids, we're getting pretty much the same amount of both of them. The flying creatures out in the Chicago and Illinois area has kind of died down a bit, and these things have picked up. Now, that's not to say that next month it ain't going to be something else. But as far as the description of a humanoid, they vary, but mostly human, emaciated, kind of wraith-like. And people attribute him to death. You know, they attribute him to disease, bad luck, all kind of things. And pretty much the same thing with the rakes. Only the rakes seem to be more aggressive. They haven't hurt anybody, but they just seem to act more aggressive, where the humanoids are just seen doing whatever they do, which could be just standing there staring at you, and then they disappear. And that's pretty much where we're at with those, but the reports just keep coming in.
Mm. You know, getting back to these humanoids, do they look alien? Do they look human? No. What are they more looking human. Like?
More human. Facial features are there, but not as pronounced. In other words, eyes, but maybe smaller than us. Resemblance of something like a nose. Mouths are small, much smaller. Heads are shaped pretty much the same, only no hair at all. You know, they're described as being bald. Dark in color, very emaciated looking, long arms with hands. But now the rake, long arms and emaciated with claws. The humanoids are seen with just hands, very, very thin, wasted legs. Always seen standing up, where the rakes are seen bipedal and on all fours. And they're usually hiding where the humanoids are out front, and you know they're there. And you know, people say, you know, the one gentleman that sent a report in, he was shopping, came home, was unloading his groceries, got into the driveway, walked up to the garage, started putting his groceries on a table to go back and get more groceries. When he turned around to go back out, this humanoid was standing behind the car, and he described it as human, but very strange looking human. So I haven't seen any reports where they, you know, it's a poof and they disappear or anything like that. They just kind of, they're there, and then they're not. Very hard to understand what these are.
Okay, so are they leaving footprints? Are they communicating vocally?
No. No footprints, no evidence that they're there at all. No, even one that was looking through a window where the guy said his hands were up at the window like a kid would be looking at a window full of toys. And there were no prints. Nothing. No smudges, no prints. Nothing like that, but he had both his hands up against the window, and he was staring in the window at the family that was in the dining room. So they're not leaving any evidence. I don't know of anybody that got any photographs or anything like that. We've gotten a ton of drawings, and the drawings are pretty much, I would say 75% of them pretty much match up to the other ones. There's a couple oddballs in there, you know. There's a few that look like Godzilla, but I don't know. I really don't know, Dave. I have no clue. Ron doesn't know. We've talked to other investigators. I mean, but like I said, people equate them with bad luck, death, loss of work, you know, broke. I mean, any bad thing you could think of happening. If they saw the humanoid and something happened, it was the humanoid that did it.
Hmm. And we don't know if these are tied to UFO sightings or just people's imagination going wild.
Well, I did look at the reports for that came in to see if there were UFO reports in the area or, you know, in that specific area, but I didn't find any. So at this point, I would say no, I don't think they're UFO related. This sounds dumb, but, you know, people are home, they're alone, they've got nothing to do, no place to go, they're bored, and they just throw something out there to get something moving, you know, to get something exciting happening. A lot of them, when I say a lot, maybe 40% of them, aren't even in this time period. I mean, they're from the 40s, 50s, 70s, you know, and another thing that's kind of weird is a lot of them are rural, like on farms. And I don't remember seeing any that were like in the city, you know, like none were seen in Manhattan, but they were seen all over the cornfields and, you know, wherever, Illinois or Indiana. So, I don't think that people are being malicious with it. I think it's kind of like something to do, something to follow up on or to get guys like me or you excited. But the rakes, I am attributing the rakes to the movie, because the movie was just shown not too awful long ago, the 2018 movie, and all the pictures that we're receiving are screenshots from the movies, every one of them. The one that started, well, we had a rake back 4 years ago, maybe, in upstate Pennsylvania, and a researcher up there pulled it right off and said, hey, wait, you know, he pulled a screenshot from the video and he said, here it is. So that they're out there. I mean, if you punch up rake and look at the images are pretty much exactly the same because they're the same image. Just some are standing, some are crawling, some are hiding behind trees, rocks, whatever. But that was the movie. That was what the movie was. Now, Bigfoot reports, they're on the rise again, which, you know, I thought they'd die down a little bit because, you know, people aren't out in the woods. Everybody's home. But they're not in areas that, how should I say, are locked down. We're seeing more in the southwestern area, reports, East Texas, North Central, U.S., but those reports are the same as all reports, you know.
Butch Wachowski is with us for Strange Days here on Spaced Out Radio. Butch, you know, these humanoids that people are seeing, all right, I can understand the Bigfoot sightings or the bipedal canines or something like that going on and people seeing more of those. I mean, through this entire pandemic and lockdown around the world, we have seen animals starting to reclaim areas of towns and cities. Kangaroos running through the main streets of Australia. We've seen cougars and mountain lions walking through cities and towns in British Columbia, all over North America, in Colorado especially. We've seen mountain goats walking through the streets in England. Okay, the animals are trying to reclaim their area, I mean, for a point there, because that's what nature does. And when there's no people around, it's amazing how beautiful nature just decides to wander back in. It is actually a beautiful thing when you think about it. But
yeah.
I can see where these people living on the outskirts or, you know, maybe their backyard is towards a forest or something along those lines. I could see where these people are having some sort of sighting. Would that maybe coincide with why there's an increase?
I think so, because just 2 weeks ago there was a mountain lion that was walking down Rodeo Drive in California. You know, the police ain't out, you know, unless they have to be. There are cattle running loose in places where they would never even go near before. Horses, like you said, there was a moose on I-5 the other day. I mean, there's no traffic. There's nothing for them to fear. So it's like you said, it's almost like they're reclaiming their territory. And then, of course, you can't rule out the people that are just throwing stuff out there to just, you know, look for that fame and fortune for 5 minutes. But it's really weird. This, you know, just the way people are acting. I live in a very small community. There's only like 70 homes in here. It's a private community. And in all this time since December, January, probably late January, I have seen three people. Three. It's like if I go outside on a patio, if I go out front on a patio, a front patio, or just stand in my driveway, it's like standing in a ghost town. I don't hear anything. There's lights on, you know, but there's nobody. Nobody walking their dog. Nobody, you know, stopping to shoot the crap with you or anything like that. It's just dead. It's the best way to put it. Kind of creepy.
It is kind of creepy. And, you know, I think as we start getting a little bit more loose on going where we want to go, out in the forest, out in the wilderness, wherever it may be, do you believe these encounters are going to continue to rise?
Yeah, I do. You know, last year, I'm only speaking for Pennsylvania. Last year, we had a lot of rain during the good weather, summer weather. It rained all the time, and people weren't out. The minute we'd had one or two or three really good, clear days, nice, warm days, we got reports right away. Weather plays a very important part in investigations. Now, Bigfoot's kind of different because depending on where in the country you live, you know, there's prints found in snow and all that kind of stuff. But like the humanoids, the rakes, the bipedal canines, these apparitions that people see in the woods, these flashes of light and stuff, they're just void until the weather gets nicer. We've had a lot of nice weather lately. We've been in the 70s, low 80s, but we've had high clouds, so sightings of UFOs have dropped a little bit, but I expect them to pick up because this little weather front that's coming through is going to be gone tomorrow, so we'll be watching the skies again. And that's all I really got to do, other than, you know, go over reports, is go outside and sky watch, because not allowed to go anywhere.
You're boring. Boy, well, this has been a bad 2 years for you, man.
Oh, yeah. Don't you remember the good old days when, you know, if you'd walk into a bank with a mask on, there'd be trouble?
Yes. Yeah, no
kidding. Now you walk into a bank, everybody's wearing a mask.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got about 4 minutes to go here before we got to go to break at the top of the hour. Butch Witkowski, Strange Days, continuing here on Spaced Out Radio. Butch, you know, with the increase in Bigfoot sightings and the increase in these humanoid sightings, are they pretty much happening in the same areas?
No, no. The Bigfoot sightings have pretty much always been in the wooded areas and stuff like that. These humanoids are being seen in backyards and driveways and supermarket parking lots. You know, they're doing everything but shopping at Walmart. So, they're not the same. They're more out in the open, according to the reports. The rakes are seen mostly in the wooded areas. And like Bigfoot, same thing. But now the humanoids are pretty much anywhere. I mean, you know, peering through windows and at houses, driveways, seen in parking lots. I mean, they're just, it's not the same. They're just, it's totally different. But what it is, really, nobody can explain what they are. Like I said, they're not one of these appearing, disappearing, flash of light, boom, 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 chase people, do this, talk, or anything. They just are there, and then they're gone. That's it.
And we have no idea where they're going because they're not leaving any evidence to check it on out.
Exactly. Nothing. There's nothing left. I mean, it's like they were never there. I'll give you a real good one where there was a report in, I believe, North Carolina, where two gentlemen were working their trade at a construction site, and the one had getting ready to go home, so they were packing up. It's getting dark. One guy saw it. The other guy's looking right the same direction. He didn't see it. So what's that mean? One can see it and one can't? That's crazy.
Well, that's kind of the issue that we're trying to figure out here, is it not? You know, how can this happen? How could this be?
Okay, so why do we see flashes?
What's your thoughts of that?
Well, that throws the conundrum back to Bigfoot, where there's flashes of light, Bigfoot appears, flash of light, in the woods, Bigfoot disappears. What's the flashing light? Where's that? What's that mean? Is that, are we talking the famous interdimensional theory, or... some trick of the mind or your eye? I don't know. It just I've never seen it. Nobody's ever photographed it. So, you know, you're really taking somebody's word that, you know, they were walking through the woods on a trail. There was a bright flash of light. They saw a Bigfoot. There was another bright flash of light, and he disappeared. So where does it take us?
I have no
idea. I've come to the conclusion, Dave, that we could investigate this till the cows come home. We may get a little closer, but getting to a very bottom line answer, it's going to take a hell of a lot more researchers out there, a lot more. And right now they're thinning down. And a lot of these guys are getting out of it. You know, they're up in age, they're packing it in. You know, they don't even do the conference route anymore.
Not you, though. Not you, though.
No, sir.
No, no.
No,
no, no. No. There's a lot of crankiness that has to spew out of Butch Witkowski before we can actually have that happen.
Here's how this works. If you find me dead in the gymnasium, it was murder. If you find me out in the trail, it was a bipedal.
Makes high-quality sense, my friend. Makes high-quality sense. We're going to go to break here at the top of the hour. 1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Butch Witkowski's Strange Days happens the end of every month. We absolutely love it when Butch comes on. I know you do, too, because I get to see the numbers of this show, and it's always very impressive to see how many of you love listening to Mr. Witkowski. UFORCOP.com is the website. UFORCOP.com is his website. We'll continue with the strange stories coming up right after this on Spaced Out Radio.
We are scouring the world for the most intriguing stories of your day. Take the time to read up on the SOR Newswire, where our team, led by Captain Shirk, will deliver to you some of the best paranormal and supernatural news, along with some stories that will blow your mind from the weird to the wacky. It's the news outside the news that piques interest, and that's what we're looking to deliver to you. The SOR Newswire, only at spacedoutradio.com.
Are you an experiencer of something strange that can't be explained? Do you want help finding out what's going on? I'm Ryan Stacey, head of the Experiencer Support Association, otherwise known as TESA. We've teamed up with Spaced Out Radio to investigate cases filled out in the SOR Sightlines report. We are independent, and there's no cost to what we do. All we need is your experience. Let's find out what's happening together on the SOR Sightlines report.
For the price of one cup of coffee a month, you can become an SOR Space Traveler. The Space Travelers Club is a place where you can interact with other listeners, either live during the show or on our great forum. We want your stories, pictures, comments, and ideas. You'll get live video streams, exclusive content, and be a part of our newsletter. Stay in touch with everything SOR. The Space Travelers Club is just $5 a month at spacedoutradio.com.
Get your horns up with me on Spaced Out Radio. This is Ron Bumblefoot Thaw. Come tune in to SOR where you can hear me rock out with Little Brother Is Watching, the official theme song of Spaced Out Radio. And then come on over to Bumblefoot.com where you can find out about my tour schedule, my music, and everything else. Bumblefoot.com keeps you up to date on what I'm doing and the best way to stay in touch with my music and music camps. Sign up for my newsletter at Bumblefoot.com and remember, Little Brother Is Watching.
The SOR Vault is open for business, and do we have some cool swag for you to pick up? All you have to do is head over to our website and click on the SOR Vault. You have a variety of cool logos to choose from, and put them on anything you want. T-shirts, hoodies, hats, coffee mugs, you name it, we can get it to you. So do your shopping by supporting the story you love. Get your Spaced Out Radio swag at the SOR Vault today.
The party is always on at the Moose Vancouver. The Moose Vancouver is where you want to be when visiting Canada's West Coast. Open until 2 a.m. nightly, the Moose cranks up the rock while serving some of the best rated food in the city. The menu starts at $6.95. Why party anywhere else in Vancouver when the Moose is right there? Get your horns up and rock with the Moose, the official party bar of Spaced Out Radio.
I'm feeling a little spicy tonight. What to do? What to do?
Why not get Bumblefuck?
4 million Scoville units of pure hard rock. Bumblefoot hot sauces come in three flavors. The burning Bumble F***. Tone it down a bit with Bumblelicious and throw the sauce on everything.
Spice it up. Bumble me, baby. Bumblefoot hot sauce. Get it today at Kajans.com.
We all know on Spaced Out Radio we love a good beard and mustache, so why not take care of your facial hair with Mighty Moose Beard Oil? Made in Canada, we're taking care of beards and stashes around the world. We use 100% natural ingredients with our oils and balms to make your whiskers feel silky smooth. Use promo code SOR2019 at MightyMooseBeard.com today.
Space travelers, it's me again, Carl. Don't forget to join the Space Travelers Club for just $5 a month and follow Spaced Out Radio on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio. Our Instagram, Dave Scott SOR. Our Facebook page is Spaced Out Radio Show. Our archives are free at youtube.com/Spaced Out Radio. Come woo it up with Spaced Out Radio today. Bye.
Hi there, this is the paranormal lawyer Michael W. Hall. I'd like to invite you to listen in each Sunday night where we're going to open up your eyes to everything strange and paranormal. I will be hosting some great guests with topics that affect us all, such as UFOs, ghosts, and everything paranormal. Let's learn together on Spaced Out Radio Sunday with myself, Michael W. Hall, the paranormal lawyer at spacedoutradio.com.
Looking for creative ways to get your company out in the public? How about advertising on Spaced Out Radio? Our sales department is waiting to hear from you, and we can work around any budget. From commercial spots to banners to special promotions, there are many opportunities to get your name and product out to our SOR listeners. For a price guide and more information, please contact us at sales@spacedoutradio.com.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Hey everyone, I'm John Edwards.
And I'm Stacey Edwards. Together we're taking over Saturday nights on Spaced Out Radio, where we're going to bring our own experiences of the paranormal and talk to the best people we can find to help bring you answers to your strange tales.
We're here to entertain your need for weekend woo! So tune us in at spacedoutradio.com starting at 9:06 Pacific, 12:06 a.m. Eastern, where we can all get a little spooky together.
Spaced Out Saturday nights right here at spacedoutradio.com.
Hi, this is Amber Beckrud, and I want to invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel where we store all of the SOR show archives for free. And as an added bonus, every 2 weeks I'm posting brand new content on Cryptid Tales, where I will get into some of the spookier legends and folklore from around the world and tell the stories that go with them. Find us at youtube.com/spacedoutradio and check out Cryptid Tales today. Drop a comment and let me know what you want to hear. See you there.
Hey, space travelers, this is John Rezig, founder of the Chive and Chive Charities. If you know anything about our website, you'd know we like to do things a little differently. We're not some faceless organization collecting money for a nebulous cause. Our donor dollars go directly toward life-improving items. Then we give those items directly to an underdog who needs it most. To become a donor with Spaced Out Radio's official charity, Chive Charities, just go to chivecharities.org/donate.
You're listening to Spaced Out Radio with Dave Scott. Follow Dave on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio and on Facebook, Spaced Out Radio Show.
Welcome back to hour number two of Spaced Out Radio tonight. I am your host, Dave Scott. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you all taking the time to hang on out and be one with Team SOR. We welcome back everyone listening in on our terrestrial affiliates across North America and on the digital side on TalkStream Live and Revolution Radio. Remember, you can check out all of our archives for free at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Just do me the favor. Hit that subscribe button. And the Desert Clam has set the password for tonight in the SOR Space Travelers Club. Abegius. Abegius is your password. Use it wisely, Space Travelers, as the Clam sets the password each and every night right here on Spaced Out Radio. Our website, spacedoutradio.com, where we have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire, as well. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio for the show, and my personal handle at Dave Scott SOR. Butch Witkowski's Strange Days happens at the end of every month, where we hang out, talk all things monsters and cryptids, because that's what we love to do around here. Butch's website, UFOcop.com. Butch, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
Are you noticing with all of these recent and rash sightings of humanoids, of Bigfoot, Dogman, bipedal canines, how's the UFO sightings going along with all of this as well? And do you believe there's any correlation?
Haven't been able to put anything together that way, but the UFO sightings have been, they've been steadily going up over the last months. I mean, even in the wintertime when we had some really clear days, clear nights rather, there were sighting reports. Mostly, again, triangles and orbs. They just seem to be the top numbers as far as that goes. I would say triangles more than orbs. But the orbs, the difference we're seeing there is usually they were always seen one at a time. Now they're groups. 2, 3, 4, 6, 8. Or there's one large one that splits into 5 or 6 and then goes back to 1 and then takes off into the sky. But that's the only difference that we've been seeing as far as the type of UFOs being seen. They're there. I mean, there's no way you can even say that they don't exist because, I mean, we don't have anything that can do what they do. And we're getting back to a couple reports which we had maybe 10, 15 years ago where they would change colors. And then basically that stopped and it went all white or all one color, never changed. And it was either yellow or orange. And now we're seeing the white, we're getting reports of seeing white ones that change to orange or change to a bluish, greenish color and back to white and then, you know, off into the stars. But I'm interested in the ISS is supposed to be, supposedly has some pictures of some crafts that got pretty close to the ISS, but they haven't been made available yet, if they ever are. But that would be interesting as all get out.
All right. Hey, I got a quick question for you from Joey in our SOR Space Travelers Club on our website. He is asking, Butch, have you ever run into dangerous gases when you're investigating mines? And if so, what is your precautionary methodology concerning that?
We have a gas detector that we carry. It will set off an alarm. It reads oxygen levels, and it will set off an alarm when the oxygen level gets down into a dangerous. It gives you plenty of warning. You know, it's like 3 steps before, you know, you shouldn't be standing there anymore. We have masks, so. I mean, that's pretty much all you can do. And some of the, on that list that we have of the mines and stuff like that, they actually do give caution to some mines, that depending what type of mine it was, that there could be gases in there, especially if it was an old coal mine. So we kind of stay away from them because we figure that, you know, if we can't live in there and if there's something living and breathing that's in there, they're not going to be living long either. Some of the mines are flooded, so we take precautions on that. Now some people say, well, they're not that deep. Well, we're not going to take that chance. So we have harnesses, and we're lashed usually to the truck, or the back of the truck. So I'm not going to move a one-ton truck by jumping in the water. We are looking into getting a underwater camera, it's like a sub, little sub. Not very expensive, a couple grand, but, you know, that we can put it in the water and we don't have to even get in the water. We can just float it around. And there's a couple places where we've had large ponds and large bodies of water that we would like to investigate. But, you know, you just don't want to go jumping into anything because you don't know what's in there. But with a camera, that'd be a lot easier.
Absolutely, it would. Absolutely. Question coming from Greco on Twitter at hashtag SpacedOutRadio. Butch, do you know about the growing number of naval and civilian hazard reports describing observations of missile-like objects passing or streaking near their aircraft? There are no known radar hits for these objects by sea or air.
Yeah. I guess they're better known by rods. The last one that I saw was, it's got to be a year now. Where a military flight of two transports, C-130s, if I remember correctly, going from Texas to California, and they were tracked, and radar tracked them too, where there was like a rod or two that was behind them and above them. And somewhere along the line, in that line of flight, they dispatched a fighter. And by the time the fighter got there, it was gone off radar and everything else. But they've been around for a long time. I mean, they're almost like the Foo Fighters, you know, from back in the 40s. You know, they just follow aircraft. They don't do anything. I mean, they're not hostile. But they I know there's a lot of names for them, but basically pretty much everybody settled on rods. And very fast, extremely fast. So I think even if the fighter would have caught up to it, it probably would have left it sit in its dust. But they are there.
Spencer is asking, have you been following the To the Stars Academy lately, and what do you think of what they've been doing?
How do I back out of this question?
No, you can't.
Yeah, you're right. Let's put it this way. I have some issues with it, with the Stars Academy. They're not really a big deal, but to me they're important. Things that are, you know, just like everything's convenient, you know, like a question arises about something, a sighting or a base or something like that. And somebody in the group goes like, oh yeah, I knew about that for years. You know, we've been studying that for 25 years or whatever. That just doesn't happen that way. I just tend to disagree with some of the things. Just like the thing that's on TV now, the Skinwalker Ranch, the hunt for Skinwalker. I mean, some of the stuff they're doing I can understand, and, you know, I always urge caution when people are doing anything like that out in the field. So a tri-field meter and a frequency meter are absolute. Those are two things that you absolutely have to have along with a detector for anything nuclear or anything that's not quite kosher, it could hurt you. And when they were showing some of the meter readings they were getting at the ranch, I mean, that would be like standing inside your microwave. And the one reading they took, that was way above a chest x-ray. So, you know, when you get those kind of readings, you don't want to be there. But then again, you got to figure out what it is, and I guess that's what they're trying to do now. I missed, so I don't know where they're at with their investigation. But it's good, and you know, those types of equipment, that type of equipment isn't expensive, really. It's really not. I mean, all three pieces of those equipment would be probably under $600 for all three pieces, brand new, and you could probably get them used on eBay, but. A tri-field meter and, you know, an RF meter, radiation detector. That's three things you always want to have with you when you're doing that kind of stuff because you don't know. You don't know. I mean, you know, you don't want to walk into some place where the radiation is that high. The one guy, I believe, got radiation burns just by looking into a well. And then they checked it a few days later, and there was no radiation there, but he got radiation burns. So you can get burned and not even know it. You'll know it the next day, but that's something you don't want to mess around with. You just don't want to mess around with it. And if you're going to do caving, if you're going to go in places where you think there could be noxious gases like an old mine or anything like that, you definitely want a gas detector. They're not very expensive at all. I think we got one of the best ones they made at the time. We have it now about 6 or 7 years. Works off of batteries. It'll test the air before you do anything. So it sets itself, like if you're outside before you go in, it'll test and give you a green light that, you know, oxygen level is where it's supposed to be. And it senses that the oxygen level is at a point where you should be watchful of the meter. There's a series of yellow lights, and then when the red light starts flashing, you need to get the hell out of there.
That happens.
Mm-hmm.
That completely happens.
Yes, it does. Yes,
all right, let's move on to a question here from Catherine. And she is asking, Butch, when was the last credible UFO recording in your mind?
Last credible? A year ago, last September. I was the witness. I was on my front porch here at the new house, and it was a beautiful, clear night. I mean, absolutely clear. You could see forever. And I was just staring up the sky like I normally do. and I watched something zigzag out of the north and head east, and at an unbelievable speed. And the area it covered, I mean, from horizon to horizon, it was only a matter of like maybe less than 6-8 seconds. It dropped in altitude. It picked up in altitude. It was a very bright, glowing. When I first looked at it, it almost looked goldish colored. But there was a good-sized moon out, so I'm assuming that the moon was, you know, there was some reflection there of some type. But once it got past that area, and I have a wide view down here, I have no light pollution. It was just a bright white, and it wasn't even an orb. It was more elongated. And it was a very good sighting, and I recorded it, so I got her.
Brett is asking, what's your take on the reported recent UFO incident in Brazil?
I'll tell you something. Brazil is, you know, a lot of people don't get that, but that Brazil and Mexico, okay, have some of the most credible UFO sightings ever. You know, people here talk about the Stevensville UFO sighting. They talk about the Phoenix Lights and stuff like that. Down in that, in Brazil, South America, and Mexico, those sightings are like on a daily basis. I don't know why or what's going on down there. But if you look at an overhead, a Google Earth overhead, the pro version of the sighting, and mark the sighting, pin the sighting on the map, and then go to the closest Inca town, Inca village, Inca whatever city, it's always near, very near, always close. Machu Picchu, same thing. UFO sightings, you pin it and go there, and you'll see it. I mean, they're just, why? You know, it's just like Egypt's the same way. A lot of sightings in Egypt are in the Valley of the Kings and the Great Pyramids. The connection, you know, I know there's a lot of people who say there's a connection, and there could be. But, you know, when these things are tracked and they're mapped and, you know, you have a longitude and latitude to go to, it's always good to just check Google Earth and see exactly where that thing was and what's close by.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you in regards to a lot of these big time UFO sightings. Why don't we have the next Phoenix Lights? Where is the next Roswell? Are these being swept under the carpet, or have the aliens just learned how to fly better?
I think the place that we're going to see more information coming out of, those sightings of USOs undersea objects, are they've doubled over years. You know, you can't have 1,500 to 1,800 sailors. No. It's going to come down to luck. I always joked when I first started this that I'm probably going to find out the real truth when one lands in a farmer's field and he calls the newspaper.
No, I can see that, and I can understand that. Do you think social media plays a little bit of sight with that? Because everybody has a camera. Everybody is, you know, tweeting. Everybody's Instagramming everything.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I see that on the website. I see that on Facebook. I see that on Twitter. I see it on social media all over the place where, you know, I'll just get a report pretty much out of nowhere. And, you know, time, date, what it is, what color it was, maybe a drawing came with it, maybe a photograph came with it. And I just got one of the guys that he doesn't know what it is, but when I washed it and cleaned it and, you know, backlit it and did whatever I had to do to get it clear, it was taken by a field cam. There's something there between the trees, and I can see the back. I can see a shoulder. I can see a neck, and I can see probably a third of the back of the head, and I can see the back all the way down to the butt cheeks. So I don't know what it is. I mean, there's not enough of it there to discern to what I think it could be. But the guy said he wanted to know if he should keep the camera up or take the camera down. I said, no, go buy another camera, put one in the other direction. But so,
well, hey,
you know,
whatever works, works.
Yeah, and, you know, this stuff never happened before. I mean, to get reports before, you know, they went to, like, a UFO clearinghouse or Peter Davenport's site, and they never got shared. They were just put on the Internet. So if you wanted to find out what was going on, you had to go to those sites and, you know, pile through all that stuff to see what was what. But now with social media, people can go right from what they see to me or any other researcher and get an answer or, you know, get some help or some advice. And I think that's the best part of the social media. I mean, there's a lot of social media I don't really care for, but, you know, barring politics and religion, you know, I've gotten more reports through social media probably than the website. If I get three or four on the website in a week, I'll get three times that much from social media.
How can you trust the reports from social media, considering, you know, when you see so much fakery going on, you see so much CGI, you see so much blob squatch. We don't seem to have a lot of credible footage. I was looking at a video today that was recently put on YouTube about, you know, one of these swamp Bigfoot down in the bayou. And the guy looked like he was 30 feet away. You could hear it on camera where he's moving around and he's stepping on twigs, and this creature never once turned to look at him. Well, everything I know about this creature, it has a very incredible smell, capability of smell. It has an incredible set of ears which hear everything. And if somebody's 30 feet away filming it, And that person is breaking little twigs underneath his feet, there's no way this is real. You know, but we all want that one film.
Yeah, well, I kind of shy away from YouTube. I'd rather somebody send me something over Facebook by Messenger or direct to the website. That seems to be where I'll get better pictures, better video. You know, they'll send it on Messenger, so it is private. We get a lot of hits through the 40 and Team Messenger site. I haven't gotten any snooker calls, you know, like that. YouTube, I always found a problem with something in YouTube. There was always something CGI or something that was not kosher. I had one guy who was reporting something. He was in the wrong state. But, you know, if you're going to lie to me, at least do some homework. But it's I like it only because even though these people aren't, you know, and they may not be a friend on Facebook, but maybe one of their friends is, and they'll use their thing to get through to me on their messenger, and they'll explain who they are, and then I'll just mark them up as a friend, and then they can go direct, and they'll give me their phone number. You know, when people give you their phone numbers and address, you know that they're not pulling your leg. When they,
Butch,
when
I'm
going
to hold that right there. Hold that thought right there. We're going to go to break here at the bottom of the hour. Butch Witkowski's Strange Days continues on Spaced Out Radio right after this.
Need that weekend supernatural fix? Look no further than Spaced Out Saturday right here at spacedoutradio.com. I'm Stacey Edwards.
And I'm John Edwards. Each Saturday night, Stacey and I are going to bring you the best in paranormal, cryptids, UFOs, you name it, and we're going there.
It's all about the experience and to share the knowledge with all of you.
So tune us in every Saturday night on Spaced Out Saturdays, starting at 9:06 p.m. Pacific, 12:06 a.m. Eastern, only at spacedoutradio.com.
Are you looking for great advertising value for your company? Look no further than Spaced Out Radio. We have a multitude of places to get your name out there, including commercial ads during the show, special promotions, and banners on our website. Our audience has proven to support the companies that support our show. We can make your budget work for you. For more information, please contact us at sales@spacedoutradio.com.
Hey everybody, the SOR Space Travelers is open. For just $5 a month, you can hang out with Dave and our crew privately in our members-only section. With your signing, you'll receive newsletters on what's going on with Spaced Out Radio. You'll have direct contact with the host during the show in our chat, live streaming videos, and a great form for your posts and more. Become a space traveler now at spacedoutradio.com.
From the heartlands of Canada to beards around the world, we know how to take care of you. Fill your follicles with the Mighty Moose Beard Oil. All our oils and balms are handmade and 100% natural ingredients because we care about your beard. And hey, use the promo code SOR2019 and get your Mighty Moose Beard Oil today. You can check us out on our website, mightymoosebeard.com.
We're adding to the entertainment online for Spaced Out Radio. I'm Amber Beckrud, and I want to invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and check out Cryptid Tales, where I will take you on a journey into some of the strangest legends and lore from around the world, relaying the stories to you of the strange creatures and experiences that people have had throughout time. You can find Cryptid Tales at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. And while you're there, don't forget to check out our free archives and leave a comment. See you there.
Cold drinks, great food, and the best music in Vancouver. The Moose Vancouver is the place to be, open until 2 a.m. nightly. Everything on the menu starts at just $6.95. Who serves food that cheap anymore? At the Moose, you'll never know who you'll run into. Rock stars, actors, athletes, it's the place everyone wants to be. So join us at the Moose Vancouver, the Moose Vancouver, the official party bar of Spaced Out Radio.
Hello, space travelers. It's me again, Carl. Don't forget to join the Space Travelers Club for just $5 a month and follow Spaced Out Radio on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio. Our Instagram, Dave Scott SOR. Our Facebook page is Spaced Out Radio Show. Our archives are free at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Come woo it up with Spaced Out Radio today. Bye!
Hey, space travelers, this is John Rezig, founder of the Chive and Chive Charities. If you know anything about our website, you know we like to do things a little differently. We're not some faceless organization collecting money for a nebulous cause. Our donor dollars go directly toward life-improving items. Then we give those items directly to an underdog who needs it most. To become a donor with Spaced Out Radio's official charity, Chive Charities, just go to chivecharities.org/donate.
Hello, this is your guitar man, Ron Bumblefoot Thaw, and I have to tell you, I love the response I get for Little Brother is Watching from Spaced Out Radio fans. It's amazing how music can inspire and make people think deeper about what's going on in the supernatural world. You can head over to my website, bumblefoot.com, to check out my music, my guitar workshops, my touring, even check out some of the hot sauces that I'm working on. And make sure you keep on listening, because with Spaced Out Radio, you know Little Brother is Watching.
At spacedoutradio.com, we are keeping you up to date on all the news with the SOR Newswire. Captain Shirk leads the team that is bringing you the news of the day and exclusive stories on everything paranormal and supernatural. It's free to read, it's updated daily, and it's right there for you. The SOR Newswire is a one-stop shop for the news of the day. Check it out at spacedoutradio.com today.
You wanted new SOR gear, and now you can have it. The SOR Vault is fully stocked with t-shirts, hats, hoodies, mugs, and everything in between with great logos for you to choose from. So head on over to spacedoutradio.com, click on the SOR Vault, and go shopping. Pricing is quite affordable, and you can look good representing your favorite show. So go to our website and pick up your new SOR wear at the SOR Vault today.
We're taking Sunday nights out of this world on Spaced Out Radio. This is Michael W. Hall, also known as the Paranormal Lawyer. Together, we're going to go on an exciting journey into the unknown. I'm going to bring you some of the best interviews in the paranormal and supernatural to start your new week off on a freaky note. So tune in to Spaced Out Sundays with me, Michael W. Hall, only on spacedoutradio.com.
If you like it hot, real hot,
then heat up your meals with Bumblefoot Hot Sauce.
Get your Bumblefoot Hot Sauce today. The sauce, Bumblicious, and the 4 million Scoville unit Bumble we're going in hot, real hot, coming out even hotter.
Keep the milk nearby. And tantalize your taste buds tonight.
Bumblefoot Hot Sauce, available now at Kajans.com.
Second half of Spaced Out Radio is underway tonight. I am your host, Dave Scott, sitting in the captain's chair of SOR headquarters. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time. We want to say hello to everybody who will check out our archives, because they are free for you at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Just do me the favor, hit that subscribe button. Our website, spacedoutradio.com, where we have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio for the show, and my personal handle at Dave Scott SOR. Butch Witkowski's Strange Days happens near the end of every month, where we talk all things strange and weird. And Butch's website is UFOcop.com. Butch, welcome back.
Yes, sir.
Shanna Banana, because she likes to rhyme, has a question for you. She's like, could you tell us more about these humanoid stories or what they're doing, what the reactions are? Give us one.
The I guess one of the best ones was a gentleman lives in a small town here in Pennsylvania, north central Pennsylvania, and with the virus thing, you know, he was closed down just like we were. And they opened him up 2 weeks ago, I believe, where they could go out, and he just decided that he wanted to go do some shopping and, you know, hit one of my favorite places, Home Depot, and do a little grocery shopping. And then he came home and he was unloading groceries and putting them on a table in the garage, and he turned around and there stood this, for lack of a better term, you know, a humanoid looking creature. He described as tall, dark, human looking, with the exceptions of smaller eyes, smaller nose, smaller mouth, but head shaped the same, neck, shoulders, long arms, standing at the rear of his car to the left of the quarter panel. And it just stared at him, and he just stared at it. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know whether to run, shut the door, do whatever he wanted to do. It wasn't doing anything. And he started to walk toward the other side of the garage door, where the button is to shut the door. And he looked up, and it was gone. And that was one. The other one that I thought was pretty good was, you know, guy inside the house, and this thing's got his hands up against the window, looking in the window at the family. And at first he thought it was a shadow, you know, from something in the house, just reflecting off the window. But, you know, when he stepped off to the side, he could see what it was. And his description was pretty much the same as the other guy. So the descriptions of these are pretty much the same. Sometimes height difference, a length of arms, stuff like that. But other than that, they're pretty close. As with the rakes are described absolutely the same every time, but they're getting those pictures off the internet. So they're pale, they're white, dark eyes, emaciated looking, kind of egg-headed, you know, that kind of stuff. I think those are two pretty good sighting reports. There are more. If they want to see more of those types of reports, they go to phantomsandmonsters.com. Lon publishes those pretty much on a daily basis because that's the way we're getting them. We're just getting one after the other.
All right, let's move on to another question here. This one is on Twitter from Greco. He is asking, if we ever verify that Bigfoot is real, what changes?
Well, it would change history a lot, depending on how far back they could, you know, date this thing. Or if it showed human traits or had human DNA. This is something that's been here that maybe crossed over the land bridge from Russia, you know, to Alaska and came down through Canada. I guess a lot of things would change in our history as far as where we come from, where these things originated from. What are they? Are they Neanderthal? Are they from some other stage in time? How did they survive? How did they get here? Are they family groups? And there's a lot of information, you know. Does their DNA have any match to ours? Or is there anything in our DNA that matches theirs? I mean, you know, I guess there's a whole ton of questions. I think a lot of things would change in mankind, where we came from, how we developed. Why didn't they develop?
Well, that's the big point. I mean, if we discover that this creature is real, the side effects, I don't think, are what people understand. It's going to fully affect the mining industry, the forest industry, just to name a couple. And that is tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people in North America that rely on feeding their families on this job. I mean, there's some serious implications with this, Butch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they'll be fascinating, but they'll be serious, is exactly right.
All right, let's move on here. Greco has a second question, this one about the fairy realm. He's asking, why are the fairy realm creatures so scared of humans?
I want to be very honest. I have no idea. There's a gentleman. You can go on his website. It's Tim Renner is the guy that he's a researcher in that field. I have never been involved in any investigation of fairies. I know there are, Tim Renner, I believe, is probably the best, in the United States as far as getting information from. A very open gentleman. You can get him on his website, he has books out on it. So, he does yes. Bigfoot, he does fairies, he does gnomes, stuff. So I have to plead ignorance on fairies. Just sorry.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Tim's name because he will actually be here on June 11th hanging out with
us. Good guy. He's one of great our 14 team members. Yeah.
Fantastic hair, too. Great hair.
Yes.
Good solid beard. Looks like Rob Zombie. Yeah. To be absolutely blunt, he looks like Rob Zombie.
Yeah. He's a good guy. He's one of our 14 team members. He lives not too far from Lon. So, and he's a musician also. Good artist, does a lot of artwork, and his books are great. So if you can pick up his books, you can get those anywhere on Amazon or his website.
All right. Joey in our Space Travelers Club is asking, do the majority of UFOs seem to have navigation lights? Are they non-standard? And what would be an extraterrestrial craft have a need for any?
I've never seen navigation lights on UFOs. I've had 19 sightings in my 30 years. The only lights that I could say... there are a couple triangle photographs out there. A couple of them were from taken in Europe where there's a light, one light, at the very bottom of the craft, centered. I'm trying to think of some spheres orbs that are clear, usually seen very close to the ground, and have an electrical discharge going through them, so they change into multicolors. The last report that I was involved in was out in Oregon, four years ago. So there are no collision lights that I'm aware of that I've ever seen or ever even read about. I mean, people will say, well, they saw a flashing light. Well, if they're seeing a flashing light and it's high in the sky and it's not moving real fast, it's probably a plane. I keep trying to impart that binoculars are really something to have if you're going to stargaze, you know, because you could get a military jet that's moving pretty quick and it's going to have collision lights on. Or you could have a military jet that's moving pretty quick that doesn't have any lights on. Same with helicopters. So it's a pair of binoculars always helps. But as far as collision lights, no, there's no red, green, white collision lights on any craft that I've ever seen or heard of.
All right. Robert Two Crows in our YouTube chat is asking, how many UFO sightings in terrestrial or man-made objects, in your opinion?
I think a lot are man-made objects, only because people see what they want to see. When you try to explain to somebody that that star that they've been watching is not moving, that the Earth is rotating, gets a little tacky sometimes. They think you're crazy. It always amazed me that people don't realize that the Earth is turning. Or the ISS, especially the ISS, or Venus, or Mars. I mean, it's very hard to explain to these folks what they're actually seeing. Some of them, you know, they'll say, okay, so they were wrong and whatever, they'll look better. Or, you know, I tell them to get a star map. They're very cheap. You can get them anywhere. And you'll see what you're looking at. But, you know, these are the ones that really get irate are people that, you know, they don't own a pair of binoculars. They see something red in the distance off to the right of this and that, and it's Mars. Okay. Or they see Venus, or they see the North Star, and it's moving. Well, yeah, it's moving. So is the Earth. So there's a lot of credibility, and there's a lot of miscredibility and misinformation and disinformation that's out there, and misidentification. But that's in everything. That's in all paranormal. I mean, somebody that's, like I said before many times, somebody lives in Brooklyn, New York, and they go to the woods for the first time in their life, they see something big and furry run through the woods. All of a sudden, it's Bigfoot. No, that was a deer. So, you know, if they're going to study the skies and watch for what they think are UFOs, there's just a couple little things they got to do. Pair of binoculars, clear night, realize that the Earth is moving. You can get online and see where the ISS is. Very easily go to NASA's site, and it'll show you exactly where it's going to be, what time, and what area. Star maps you can get for free on the internet, or you can go on eBay and you buy one for like $3.
Well, there you go. All right, move on here. No science, Bob. I will not shave the thing on my chin. I kind of like it. I know you're jealous of it, but I kind of like it. Hector is asking, any new animal mutilation cases like the one with the horse standing with its half its lower jaw missing, Butch?
No. As a matter of fact, I was just looking at that case the other day. I've been trying to get a hold of the girl that owned it. She moved not too far away from where she was, but she moved. And I did get a hold of her boyfriend and, gave her my, she had my old phone number and my old address and stuff. So I gave her the new stuff. And he said he hasn't had anything, or he's not known of anything happening in the area where the horse was mutilated. That is such a bizarre case that, I mean, to have that happen in the time period that it happened in, it just seems so impossible to me that, you know, the girl's walking away from the horse that she leaves right in the center of the ring. Walks down a hallway, less than 50 feet, opens a tack box, gets out a brush, walks back, and that horse is mutilated. And I mean, it's mutilated. And the horse never yells. The horse never screams. The horse doesn't do anything. As a matter of fact, it's standing in the same spot she left it. And she could tell by the hoof prints where it was. Never moved. And the horse was not in pain.
Ouch. Weird.
That is one of the weirdest ones yet. I mean, you know, when you're dealing with mutes, usually they're dead. They've been carved up. This one was stone-ass alive, and it was carved up. And when you look at the information from the vet that was there that had to put the horse down, I mean, you know, he had to clamp off veins and, you know, do a whole bunch of stuff. But you could see the jaw was missing. And he even posted a picture of what it should have looked like, you know, a skeleton. And it was gone. It was just gone.
Well, there you go. Let's move to Bizzle A. Have you heard of the government agent story on another YouTube channel that says the government uses dogmen, werewolves, and Bigfoot for military purpose? What's your thought of this?
Boy, I never heard that one. What would they use them for? I never heard that. Where did he see that?
Oh, there's a number of channels, and I've seen that before. I can say that I've heard people saying that, you know, these are creatures that are, they're trying to turn into like almost like super soldiers.
Oh, okay. Now that I've heard about super soldiers, but that was back in World War II. Germany was trying to do that with apes, great apes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they could do with them.
Well, first off, let's break it down. Do you buy the story that this might be something truthful, or do you think it's conjecture?
I would probably lean toward conjecture. You know, there. I know the government keeps secrets very well, but something like that would be very hard to keep. I mean, it's just like the alien that was shot at Fort Dix in New Jersey. You had three guys stand there and swear to God that they shot it and killed it, and it was taken away. And you had one guard that was another post to watch the whole thing, said it never happened. He said they never fired a gun. And then he produced the copy of the weapons log that they turn in when they go off duty, that, you know, how many rounds they got and how many rounds they spent and how many rounds they turned in. Nobody fired a shot. I pretty much put that one in the garbage can.
All right. Science Bob is asking, Butch, have you been close enough to Sasquatch to smell it?
No, I have not. I one of my researchers, oh, this goes back, so got to be 10 years now, was hiking up in the Blue Mountain area here in Pennsylvania. And he had this god-awful smell. He said it smelled like something died. So he just kept going, but the smell kept coming with him. Next thing you know, he had these boulders rocked at him. And he said they came off a hill. And he said it would have taken him a good 10, 15 minutes to climb that hill. And these rocks, he said, probably the size of a basketball, were being lobbed down at him, bouncing off of trees and stuff. So he pretty much put two and two together, and he made a report on Bigfoot.
All right. Mr. Man Mister is asking, is it possible, Butch, that the Glimmer Man and Bigfoot are the same creature?
Well, I guess I always say anything's possible, but I don't see the connection between the two, because there aren't that many Glimmer Man reports out there.
Okay, first off, what's a Glimmer Man?
How could you describe it? Kind of a sparkly, shimmery. I don't know. I can't even think of a word. Humanoid looking type, size wise. I've only ever seen one report on the Glimmer Man, but in certain areas of the South and Midwest, they're pretty popular. But I don't see a connection between that and Bigfoot. size, especially in size. They're not described like a Bigfoot is in size, or stocky, you know, or head shape or anything like that.
We've got about 3.5 minutes before we have to go to break at the top of the hour. Butch Witkowski's Strange Days here on Spaced Out Radio. I love this question from Tina. Butch, what do you think about the so-called Velociraptor sightings in Georgia?
What sighting?
The Velociraptors.
Oh, Velociraptors.
Velociraptors.
Boy, that'd be scary, wouldn't it? Well, first of all, I don't think they could take the change in weather. You know, the South gets cold. You know, people don't realize that South is not hot all the time. I mean, it gets cold. That's why in the summertime, the skunk ape sightings go up. And in the wintertime, now it's not cold. But in the wintertime, they go down. Where up north, with the Bigfoot sightings, you'll get the same amount in the summer as the winter. But I would think the Velociraptor, the way they work, there's always more than one. That's number one. They hunt in packs. And number two, there'd be bodies everywhere. I mean, they were just ferocious. They were one of the deadliest dinosaurs ever. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, they're too small. Well, about 5 or 6 of them at one time ain't too small.
Nope.
And they were also known to take down a Brontosaurus or a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
And then they just kept their upset attitude and morphed into house cats.
That's very possible.
I still think so.
My wife's grandmother's cat, he hated me, and I never did a thing to that cat. But every time I walked in there, I always showed him I was carrying a gun. Just didn't trust that cat.
That's why you have two dachshunds.
Yeah, well, the cat was a Savannah, so he wasn't little.
Let's sneak. Before I get to the next question, because we only have about a minute left, do you believe any of these dinosaur sightings are real, whether it's the Velociraptors, whether it's these pterodactyl sightings? Do you buy this, or do you think maybe people are looking, maybe catching a glimpse of a time gone by?
I think it's misidentification. I really do. I mean, right now they got lizards down south that they're saying if you see one, shoot them. They're like 4.5 to 5 foot long. They're not indigenous to this country. So, you know, somebody working on a farm down in Georgia and all of a sudden they see a 4 or 5 foot lizard come walking out of the field, they're going to freak. I mean, that's going to look like a Tyrannosaurus Rex to them. But,
absolutely.
A lot of it. Yeah. And when people are looking at something in the sky, look, they misidentify airplanes as UFOs. Why would they not disengage their brain when they're looking at something that's flying that they say is a pterodactyl? It could be a crane. It could be a whole lot of birds. So, I mean, there's a lot of large birds, a lot of large raptors in this world. So, I until one shot down or one lands, I'll just stay on the other side of the fence.
All right, my friend, I'll get you to hold on. Butch Witkowski's Strange Days continues in Hour 3 of Spaced Out Radio coming up next.
Hello, everyone. This is Ryan Stacey from the Experiencer Support Association, otherwise known as TESA. We're glad to team up with Spaced Out Radio to help investigate your experiences on the SOR Sightlines Report. Together, we'll investigate the strange sightings and occurrences you've had. We're looking for answers just like you. So fill out a Sightlines report on the Spaced Out Radio website and let's figure out what's going on together.
We are scouring the world for the most intriguing stories of your day. Take the time to read up on the SOR Newswire, where our team, led by Captain Shirk, will deliver to you some of the best paranormal and supernatural news. along with some stories that will blow your mind from the weird to the wacky. It's the news outside the news that piques interest, and that's what we're looking to deliver to you. The SOR Newswire, only at spacedoutradio.com.
Hey everyone, I'm John Edwards.
And I'm Stacey Edwards. Together we're taking over Saturday nights on Spaced Out Radio, where we're going to bring our own experiences of the paranormal and talk to the best people we can find to help bring you answers to your strange tales.
We're here to entertain your need for weekend woo! So tune us in at spacedoutradio.com starting at 9:06 Pacific, 12:06 a.m. Eastern, where we can all get a little spooky together.
Spaced Out Saturday nights right here at spacedoutradio.com.
We all know on Spaced Out Radio we love a good beard and mustache, so why not take care of your facial hair with Mighty Moose Beard Oil? Made in Canada, we're taking care of beards and stashes around the world. We use 100% natural ingredients with our oils and balms to make your whiskers feel silky smooth. Use promo code SOR2019 at MightyMooseBeard.com today.
Hello, this is Yoga Tall Man Ron Bumblefoot Thaw, and I have to tell you, I love the response I get for Little Brother is Watching from Spaced Out Radio fans. It's amazing